你轮转天气风湿骨痛好辛苦啊。
奶奶，我刚刚买了一个最新科技的太空小灵晶，可以迅速舒缓任何痛症的，那就不怕风湿骨痛啦。
哇，咁好噶，咁啊买多个分享下俾阿姨婆啦。
太空小灵晶可以在六创意健康店买到，电话2882-4848，网址是www.healthshop.com.hk。
以下节目内容纯属主持及嘉宾个人意见，与本台立场无关。
So, what to you is spiritual practicing about?Well, I suppose it will be accurate to describe you as someone who focuses her life on practicing spirituality. You didn't become a teacher in a secondary school. You didn't become a musician or a poet. Yeah. You didn't go into business and become a general manager of some sort. And now you are all in white. So, what's it about?
Yeah, actually, I like things to be very practical. And once we asked the head of our organization, Simon's very good friend, Daddy Janky, who's now 101, she was asked, what is spirituality? And she said, spirituality is to ask yourself, what am I meant to be doing now?And I think that's very practical and very wise. Like maybe someone's late for a meeting. I can start thinking negatively and complaining. Or I can think, what am I meant to be doing now? You know? And there's another saying that I've always tried to practice. It says, always choose that which is higher. You know, so I can choose to be impatient and frustrated.Or I can choose to be patient and accepting and positive. Always choose that which is higher. But a friend just recently I was talking to, and she gave also another very good example. She was walking down the street with her father, who was 87. So she was taking care of him. She was in Poland, where she was born. And when she walked along this road, suddenly she got a big emotionalresurgence of something from the past, and then there was a car accident, right? So what she did at that moment, which just demonstrates what I'm saying, she just said, there's no time to process this, there's no time to think about that, what I need to do now is look after my father, you know. And it kind of really simplifies life, because we can only do one thing at a timeMy friend, I said, oh, women are good. They're good at multitasking. He said, I don't believe it. They make a mess of everything. So I don't know. But it's a very good thing to do one thing at a time. As a meditator, really, it is a good thing. So I really like that practical example, you know, and that's spirituality. What am I meant to be doing now? So it can be in a spiritual sense, in that sense of thinking higher, or very practically.So if I always do what I'm meant to be doing now, and I think that takes us into a very, you know, a very big idea also, and that is that I have a destiny. I have a destiny. I have a line that I'm meant to be on. So what am I meant to be doing now? Because the stress in our life is the...distance between where I'm meant to be and where I've ended up. Maybe I end up over here because of fear, because of, you know, people telling me I shouldn't do this, I should do that, or I don't have the confidence to do this, I'm afraid. But this is the stress in our life. So if I start taking those steps of what am I meant to be doing now, what am I meant to be doing now, I think we start to direct ourselvesonto that line, because everything can start with those small steps. And I think that's where I feel most of the time I follow my intuition, and I just really feel, where am I meant to be now? And I try to follow my intuition. So I think you can start with the small steps, but that's really great if we can flow with what we're meant to be doing, because then when we're on our line, things just go like this. It's just like being on a railway track. It just goes very easily, smoothly, effortlessly. Is that your experience?
Well, quite.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm. I remember when I was doing my Form 5, I wanted to be a Catholic priest. I wanted to join the priesthood. And if I go into a seminary somewhere in Pophulam, I'll become Father Chow in 7 years.
Mm.
Okay. But what happened was my father said, no. In those days, well, even today, you have if you are not 21, you need your father's signature to join the seminary. My father said no, because I am the eldest child in the family.
Mm.
And then 2 years later, I did my matriculation. He said no again. So I took up my university training. And what happened was, as soon as I become a university freshman, I know that the church is not to be my future.
Mm.
I discovered that the Catholic Church, we were talking about Catholicism. Mm. Maureen was describing her experience in school. What happened to me was, on my graduation, I discovered that the local Catholic Church was always, time and again, on the opposite side of the people who are oppressed.
Mm.
Because for all kinds of reasons, the church has to be pro-establishment. And in those days, there were corruption in government, there were all kinds of injustice, colonialism and whatnot. You know, people like us turned red and became Marxist and Trotskyan. For your information, Trotskyan is something quite extreme.
奶奶，我阿妈买咗一个最新嘅课痛嘅牙，咁就唔怕风湿骨痛啦。咁好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好噶，我好
document, the one man in ruin will be Chinese. The first Chinese Pope will be Mr. Zhao. I still insist. But it's a different path in life anyway. And then eventually we met. I remember what attracted me to Raja Yoga was, that was 25 years ago again, I met my, I came to know a few friends at Tin Hao, at the headquarters, and asked them, why are you here? This is not a church, this is not religion, what's happening here? Why are you so happy, as I see all of you are? And they said, well, we found the answer. I said, what answer? So I asked Maureen, what's happening here? And she said, I remember what they said, you said, okay. Mm. And they said, Maureen said, this is like a supermarket. Take what you like. You don't have to buy everything on the shelf. And I thought, that's not a bad idea. because in those days, I realized that what people in Hong Kong wanted or needed was a faith without a church. A religion that's not a religion. And the moment you mention God, they say, forget it, count me out. Mm. And I remember some 20 odd years ago, one man said something wise to me. As I told you, I was not really happy with the church. I wrote quite a few things Now I feel ashamed of about the church. But there are one or two friends in the Catholic Church, the local one, I admired. And one of them is Father Xu, Cui Gam Yiu San Fu. Anyone who knows Cui Gam Yiu? 23 or 25 years ago, on one occasion, we were sitting together in front of an audience of 40 people, and I asked him a few questions about his faith, and he said, religion is not about arguing, it's about experiencing. And that was something of a blow to me. I kept arguing about, you know, is there a God, and why my God is better than yours, yours is fake, and so on. And that sounds very wise to me. And then, 10 minutes later, somehow he said another sentence I remember for the rest of my life. And that is, he said, if you want to do anything good for Jesus, don't mention God or Jesus for the next 20 years. He said, if you want to do anything good for Jesus for the next 20 years, don't mention his name or God's name. Well, I thought, that's not bad at all. And then, that is why my encounter with the BKs, I had the fortune to meet Daddy and became her interpreter in Hong Kong. And it seems that she is the summit, the ultimate of wisdom I have been looking for. I translated two of her books, and my friends told me that those books help them in so many ways. And there's a testimony to the wisdom in the Raja Yoga tradition. So what is this tradition? It's good for you to explain to us.
So then, going back to this question, what is spirituality? This is not a religion. The headquarters is called a World Spiritual University. So first of all, it's a place to study. Not a place to worship, but a place to study and to experience and understand. And what we are studying is the self. We are studying our own self. I am the subject of my study, not the object, but the subject. And so you can only study a subject, like a living subject, not an object, by going inside and experimenting and experiencing. And what we say that a spirit is a being of energy, of peace, of love, of bliss, of power, of wisdom. So this is what this energy is. But no one understands those words. No one understands what is peace, what is love, what is happiness, what is power. So much misunderstanding of power, right? So much misunderstanding, even of happiness and of love. So what we are doing is studying peace, love, happiness, bliss. But how do we study? We have to experiment on ourselves, because they're not things that I can measure and grow outside. They're things that I have to go inside and experiment with. So that's what we are doing as an organization. We're trying to explore especially that question of who am I. Most people, not all, but a lot of people at one point in their life, like Simon was saying, ask those questions. Who am I? What am I doing here? Where did I come from? What's going on? Is there going to be an end to this world? So they were the questions I had also, and that's why I ended up here. So the organization is really, more than anything, trying to help people explore that. And so also within that, like Simon was saying, it's a supermarket, meaning that it can be a basis for me to understand myself. But it doesn't mean that I will find that the path, the kind of community of the Brahma Kumaris is one that I want to be intimately connected with. I may or I may not, but at least from all these studies and from my practice, I can start to find where I belong in this world. Who am I? Where, you know, who do I belong to? And so it really is a personal journey, a very personal journey for everyone. And we don't try to make anyone what we call a BK. We don't try to make anyone a BK because that's not the aim. The aim is to help others progress. And just recently, I read that because happiness is one of the hardest things to define. Of all, you know, the aspects, peace and love and happiness, happiness is very elusive. People don't know what it means at all. They think it's getting what you want. It's going to, you know, Ocean Park or, you know, it's a very superficial understanding. And I just read recently that someone said happiness is when there is progress. Because they're telling the story of someone who was a multimillionaire and they lost a deal. So they didn't gain another million, but they already had millions. But they didn't gain another million and they suicided. And it was like, so this research started, like, what is happiness? Why would someone do that? When you've already got millions, what does it matter? You know, what's the big deal? But they kind of used that to go into exploring what is happiness. And they found that the key to happiness is progress. So all of us can always progress internally. We may not be able to progress externally because we get older, we have less ability, we have less opportunity. We can't always progress externally, but we can always progress internally. So I thought that was very interesting. One is that I will be happy when I can grow, when I can progress. So even if I have a very big challenge, let me take the challenge and progress. But also, if I help someone else to progress, that's how I can help them to be happy. You know, and that I think is a very good way to see happiness, because if I can always facilitate you to go ahead in some way, then that will make you happy. But it seems to always also make me happy. Anyone who's helping others delights in another's progress if they're doing it with the aim of helping another person. So like that, we're always, like, I just heard that the other day. I've been studying happiness for many years. There's always new insights and new ways to look at things so that I can then experiment and on myself and on others and learn something. So there's always progress. Even that learning is progress.
I remember on one occasion something embarrassing happened in your presence. You didn't notice that. And
don't get too personal.
That was very personal, I have to say. Daddy was in Hong Kong, and she was staying in a hotel in Sha Tin, and I had the fortune to go and see her privately. You arranged that, you remember? And so she gave me some 10 minutes, and we just sat together, and we enjoyed the peace, okay? Mm. And what happened was, at the end of that 10 minutes, the other sisters joined us, and Daddy was saying, there was no interpreter, she was saying, give him a shirt. One of those, the white shirts with
Like a t-shirt.
And the the other sisters were so shocked. And they thought that, you know, he's not one of us. Why should we give him the shirt? That was my interpretation. Mm. And so there was no move. And that is said again, give him the shirt. And there was still no action. And Daddy almost said for a third time, she was making some gestures, give him the shirt. And I was given the shirt.
Yeah, otherwise she would have gone and got it herself. She's not someone that will take no, right?
No, I'm remembering this because along my journey of spiritual practicing, there was one episode which I kept telling people about. Some 30 years ago, even when I broke away from the church, I knew some of those people, and they allowed me to stay in a seminary. Mm-hmm. On Lantau Island near Yuking Wan, Discovery Bay, up on the hill, there's a Trappist monastery. Mm-hmm. Trappist, T-R-A-P-P-I-S-T, Heidowui. And it's a very special place, okay? And that's where they get they sell the milk in those days, sub ji pai, xin nai. Okay. And it's a nice place to stay, and the Trappists have a tradition of they have to do a vow promising that they will not speak unnecessarily for the rest of their lives. So all day long, no one is speaking anything. Only during emergency or some tutoring. And for less than 1 hour in the evening every day, they talk about the Bible, a Bible study session, and that's all. Only one of them, there was a population of something like 14 people or monks, only one of them who is doing the PR will speak on the phone and entertain people like us, the visitors, arrange things for us. Okay, what happened was, in the morning at 3 o'clock or 3:30, we all wake up and go to the a very small chapel. And the chapel was small, and outsiders like us, we have to sit at the very back up there. And the chanting was just heavenly. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know what happened to me? I was very angry. I felt very angry after staying there for 2 days. You know what the anger was about? I thought, well, these are very able people, intelligent, dedicated, holy. Okay. And they are spending their lives here in a quiet corner, trying to go to heaven, without helping the world. Well, they should be taking the streets and demonstrating and fighting our colonialism. They should be fighting corruption. They should be doing all kinds of.
They should be like you.
Exactly. Why are they not like me? I became so angry that on the third day I told them, well, bye-bye, not for me. It was later when I translated Daddy's book that I, for the first time in my life, I heard of something like the power of peace.
Mm.
And there was a new chapter for my life. There's such a thing as power of peace.
And the power of silence.
The power of silence.
Yeah.
I thought those people singing in their chapel was very selfish. They were only for their own salvation. Who cares? If all of us are like them, well, there will be the end of the world. I thought, we need to protect the environment. We need to fight injustice. We need to, do all kinds of things. But they are not doing anything. They are sitting there tendering their cows.
So they were living it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They were only living it.
Mm-hmm.